I once listened to a very gifted speaker who had been a teacher tell a story about his first placement as a young trainee in a rough Catholic school in a run-down neighbourhood in Birmingham. He was assigned to a class run by a lady who was coming to the end of her teaching career. She was quite formidable and very strict. And he noticed that every day she seemed to pick on one poor kid, shabbily dressed and obviously neglected. When the bell went for playtime, she would make him bring his book up to the desk to be marked, after which the child would then slink back to his place. This infuriated the student, and after a few days he decided to challenge the teacher about her cruelty. But then he noticed that the child was surreptitiously eating a sandwich from under the book, which wasn't there before, and the penny dropped. She had established a code with that child, which went something like, "I can't change the circumstances of your wretched home life, but I can make sure that you get something to eat every day." That teacher was his one constant support, perhaps the only backup he had at that time in his young life. Being left out or forgotten about can be quite heartbreaking, and even worse if you have no one to lean on. On Palm Sunday, as Jesus entered Jerusalem, he couldn't wish for more support. It was fantastic. The whole town was out to welcome him. But as we see in Mark's account of the Passion, the most brutal of the four, things were to change spectacularly. He was soon abandoned by everyone. The chief priests and the Roman so-called justice system, the crowds, the very people he'd done only good to, and who a few days before had cried out, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," now reject him in favour of Barabbas, thus rating him worse than a murderer. Even his closest friends, with the exception of John and the little group of women at the cross, leave him to face his fate alone. Perhaps the cruelest part of the torture was the scourging, not just because of the pain, which would be even greater at the crucifixion, but because of the glee with which the soldiers tortured him. They were like kids in the playground taunting a new kid because he's not one of them. You can imagine them going home to their families and telling what a laugh they had that day, tormenting a harmless lunatic who claimed to be a king. It was great fun. We gave him a good hiding, dressed him in royal purple, put a crown of thorns on his head and knelt before him. But he just sat there with blood streaming down his face. Didn't see the funny side of it at all. He's dead now. We crucified him. It's only when you turn to the first reading from Isaiah, the prophecy describing the Messiah as a suffering servant, that you see throughout the whole of the Passion that Jesus was never actually alone. The psalm highlights the constancy of support given by God to the servant who remains faithful to what God has asked of him. "The Lord comes to my help, so that I am untouched by the insults. The Lord has provided me with a disciple's tongue, so I know how to reply." That constancy of Emmanuel, God with us, promised to us and fulfilled at Christmas, was renewed by Christ at the Ascension when he said, "Remember, I will be with you all days to the end of the world." It doesn't always seem like that. People have said, "Where was he then in the concentration camps?" Even Jesus himself, in agony and at his very lowest ebb on the cross, cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But actually, he's praying the first words of Psalm 22, which sums up the hopes and sufferings of the innocent and ends in the praise of God for rescuing those who cry for help. In other words, with those words, he's identifying with man's common lot of suffering, but he's also looking to the healing of the world and continues to do so wherever people feel abandoned or suffer, like the concentration camps. He was there in people like Maximilian Kolbe, Primo Levi, Corrie ten Boom, Titus Brandsner, Edith Stein, and countless others who cared for and encouraged their fellow sufferers in those camps. So as we begin to contemplate our Lord's lonely journey through Holy Week, at the end of a year of loneliness for so many people, let's remember that no matter how abandoned we may feel, the constancy of God's support will never waver for those who stay faithful. As Jesus said on another occasion, I will not leave you